إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and elders and sisters, yesterday we mentioned the four-step process that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with, which enables us to understand this deen. And we reminded ourselves that unless we follow this four-step process, follow all the steps and follow them in that sequence, it is not possible to understand this deen. Unless we have the information and the preparation and the explanation and the demonstration. يَتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. These are the four steps and this is the sequence of the steps. Today I want to remind myself and you that when a job is given to somebody, then it is only natural that the one who gives them that job also gives them the resources to do that job. So if a company hires you in a sales job, then the company will also give you a car if you are supposed to go from place to place so that you can sell. The company will give you material to sell. They will give you brochures and they will give you pamphlets and they will give you whatever other material you need in order to sell. Because it doesn't make sense that you have been given a job to sell and then you have no material, you have no sales promotional material, you have no means of getting to the place and you have no resources, then how can you sell? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people. And having sent him for this purpose, and having sent an ummah who was to carry on his work after him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave the resources. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave the resources. When you buy a phone, the smartest phone in the world needs one very unsmart, very, in today's world, very low-tech thing, if you want to call it that, but without which that smartphone will not work. What is that thing which it needs? The charger. In fact, the charger, there's no rocket science technology in the charger. The charger just puts in the wall and then it gives battery, it charges the battery of the phone. That's it. But without that charger, that phone is dead. That phone can have the most amazing software in the world, the most amazing technology in the world. The phone can be capable of doing a million things, but it will not even turn on. Forget the million things. It will not even turn on unless the battery is charged. And therefore, if you've got the smartest phone in the world, but you do not have a battery charger, or you do not plug in that battery charger, you may as well not have that phone. It makes no difference, but that phone is not going to work. Yes? So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is the battery charger? What is that thing which puts life into everything? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal muzzammil qumil layla illa qaleela nisfahu wa bin qus minhu qaleela aw zid 'alayhi wa rattilil qur'ana tartila inna sanulqi 'alayka qawlan thaqila inna nashiyatal layli hiya ashad. إن ناشية الليل هي أشد وطعا وأقوى مقيلا. the charger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O my Nabi, get up and stand in the night. How much? Qumil layl, the whole night. Illa qalil, except for a small piece. Nisfahu wa min qusminu qalila awzid alayh. Maybe half the night, maybe three quarters of the night, little bit more, little bit net, but stand in the night. And do what? And do what? How many of you have seen a Hifz, Tahfizul Quran class? What does the Ustad tell the students to do? He says, Suna, what did you memorize yesterday? Dawr. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Oh my Nabi, read. What did you learn? Suna. Ajeeb, eh? Ustad kone hai, shagird kone? Who is the Ustad? And who is the student? The Ustad is the one whose kalam it is. The Ustad is the one whose kalam it is. And the student is the one who received that kalam personally. That's why I say, when we read the Quran, before we read the Quran, today the problem with us is we got too much of sense. May Allah protect us from our sense. The Sahaba saw with their hearts, and we try to see with our brains. We don't understand, the brain is not meant to see. The heart sees, the qalb sees. And today our qulub are dead. And this one works over time. It takes us all over the place. Just think, whose kalam? Whose kalam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, O my Nabi, stand and recite. What have you learnt? وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Do it in a nice way. And why must you do this? إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. There is a big job to be done. We are going to give you a very heavy job. It's a very important and very difficult task that you have been sent to accomplish. So get ready for that. This is the preparation. The standing in the night is the preparation. إِنَّ نَاشِيَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, we know it is difficult. We know it is very difficult. هِيَ أَشَدٌ. You know it is not easy to stand in the night. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all those who did not come here. There is a weakness, on day two, weakness. And may Allah protect and bless all my generation. All the ones whose beards are white are here. All the ones whose either beard hasn't come out, or if it is black, missing. Yeah, weakness, how is this weakness going to work, boss? How is this weakness going to work? Allah did not send us into this world to sleep. He sent us into this world to work. And to the best of my knowledge, you can't be working and sleeping at the same time. This is not possible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna nashiyata layli hiya ashad. Yes, we know it is difficult. Wata'awwa aqwa muqila. But it is the best time to discipline yourself and to understand the kalam of Allah. My brothers and sisters, as I said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when somebody gives the job, He also gives the resources. Allah gave us the job of taking this deen to the whole world. I was in Dammam several years ago, I think it was 2005 or something. Allah, I don't remember the exact date now. And I went to meet Sheikh Muhammad Saleh Al-Munajjid, Hafizahullah. So after we met and, you know, salam alam and so on. And he asked me, what do you do? And I told him my business consulting and so on. So he said, I want to meet you, give me some advice. So I said, anytime, Sheikh, I'm your servant. So he said, let's go now. Now that evening I had an engagement in Dammam, there was some work. So I told him that thing will finish. He said, what time will you finish? I said about 10 o'clock. So he said, I will send the car, you come. 10 o'clock in the night. So I said, okay. So he sent a car at 10 o'clock in the night and went to his house. And he had gathered his people there, so there were about 5 or 6 people. And he said, advise me in terms of our work of Dawah. And that's IslamQA.com, is the most famous of the websites. He's got about 7 of them. And he told me some stuff about communicating across websites, which I had never heard of before. So I said, mashallah, I mean, he knows more technology than me. And we sat there, and by the time we finished with him, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. But I remember, the point I'm saying is, clarity with regard to work. And why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us. I asked him, I said, Sheikh, please define your goal. Define your goal. What do you want? Because in business consulting, when you are consulting with an organization, you ask the promoters if they to advise them and so on. You tell them, what's your vision? What's your vision? And I have seen almost invariably, if you say to somebody, what's your vision? You know, people will be a bit wishy-washy and they will think and they will reflect and so on. And they will say, you know, many words. That was the first time I saw somebody who was absolutely crystal clear in his vision. 100%. I said, Sheikh, what's your vision? He says, write it down. That's the vision. He said, write it down. He said, my vision is to take the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into every house on the planet earth. He said, on every house in this world. There should be no house in this world which has not heard the word of Allah and the word of His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Absolutely crystal clear vision. And then of course we talked about his business and so on and so on, and I gave him whatever advice I had to give him. And he finished at 3 o'clock. When he finished at 3 o'clock, I said, Sheikh, I have a right on you. He said, yes, of course. So I said, please give me some nasiha. He said, nasiha for you is next time you find a website you like, do not go to meet the Sheikh because he will kill you. Alhamdulillah. Because I went to meet him and I said, I like your website, you know, IslamQA.com. So I came to meet the Sheikh. He said, next time you see a website you like, don't go to meet the Sheikh because he will kill you. He said, like today, we are till 3 o'clock you are here. The point I'm saying, my brothers and sisters, is we have been sent to do a job, and that job is to take the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into every home, into every heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this job and He did not leave us unresourced. He gave us the job and He gave us the resources. Now what do you say about those who want the job, who say they want the job, but they will not use the resources? How will you do the job? Tell me. How will you do the job? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told His Nabi, stand in the night because this job you have to do, and you tell me that you can do this job without standing in the night, I say, sorry, I don't accept. I do not accept. If Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told to stand in the night, and you are telling me that you don't have to stand in the night to do this job, then something is wrong. Something is very seriously wrong. Doesn't work like that. There is no way that you and I are going to be able to do this job of Da'wat-ul-Islam without standing in the night. There is no way that this smartphone will work unless the battery is charged. Keep this example in your mind. This is battery charging. This is battery charging. And then when you stand in the night, what do you do? وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Recite the Kalam of Allah. Recite the Kalam of Allah. Stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tahajjud is the time to beautify your salah. Tahajjud is the time to improve the salah degree by degree by degree. The other first salawat we are praying, you're usually praying behind the imam, or maybe you are the imam and there's confusion and there's people around you and so on and so forth, and you know, you feel that if you are the imam, for example, if you recite well, you feel, well, you know, maybe I'm doing riya, or some people, I'm doing it for the people or something, Allah, Allah. But when you are alone by yourself, there is no one except your Rabb. There's no one except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the time, beautify your salah. Connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get the ihsas, get the feeling of what you are reciting. And please listen carefully to the words. I'm not saying understand the meaning. That's the next step. There is a step. There's a step before understanding the meaning of the Quran. And what is that step? Is to understand, what are you doing? Where are you standing? What are you reciting? Before whom are you reciting? Who is listening to your recitation? We haven't even got to the meaning yet. The meaning comes thereafter. Before the meaning. The ihsas of the kalam. You know, I'm always reminded, we had a friend in Bangalore. And we used to live there. Who was a... she was a classical Hindustani singer. And she told us a story one day, which literally blew me away. She said to me that she said that I was about maybe 8 or 9 years old. She said I was about 8 or 9 years old and I was learning classical singing, Hindustani. And she said I was very fond of singing the ghazals of Begum Akhtar. All my Indian friends will know the name, a very famous name, very famous singer in, he used to be in India, she passed away, called Begum Akhtar. So she said, I used to sing these, ghazals of Begum Akhtar. She said, one day my ustad took me to meet Begum Akhtar. Listen carefully. I'm talking about the ihsas of reciting the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this young girl, 8-9 years old, she said, my ustad took me to meet Begum Akhtar and introduced me and sat me down in front of Begum Akhtar. And she said, and the ustad said to Begum Akhtar, ke Begum sahab, ye aapke ghazliyat ye bada achha gaati hain, bada usko shauk hai. She said to Begum Akhtar, he said, she likes to sing your ghazals and she is very fond of singing and she sings them well. And his lady said, Begum Akhtar said to me, beta kuch suna. Begum Akhtar said, sing something. And she said, hamare pair ke tale ki zameen nikal gayi. She said, the earth went away from under my feet. She said, hum kaapne lage. She said, I started shivering. So I asked her, she was an elderly person. So I said, auntie, kyun itna aap dar rahe the? I said, why were you so afraid? She said, Begum Akhtar ki ghazal Begum Akhtar ko sunaye. She said, Begum Akhtar's ghazal, I must recite it before Begum Akhtar. Hey. Huh? Samajh mein aaya kuch? Do you understand what I'm saying? Dekha, Begum Akhtar ki kalam, Begum Akhtar ka kalam, Begum Akhtar ko suna. That is what I mean by the ihsas of what you are saying. This lady, this 7-8 year old girl, 9 year old girl, she has that sense of what she is saying. I must recite the kalam of this poet to her directly. It's her kalam. She wrote this kalam. She sang that song, and I must sing this back to her. Her kalam. She said, I couldn't stand. She said, I was shivering. The earth went away from under my feet. That is what I am saying by even before the meaning of the kalam of Allah Jalla Wala. The ihsas, where are you standing? What are you reciting? Before whom are you reciting? Eh? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Who said this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you saying it back to Allah? That is the thing. That is the thing. That ihsas. What am I doing? Where am I standing? My brothers and sisters, it's very, very important. If you want to do the work of this deen, learn to get up in the night. Otherwise, take it from me in writing, you will fail. You will fail. There's no way you are going to do the work of Islam if you do not make tahajjud fard on yourself. In the Asbabun Nuzul of this ayat of Suratul Muzzammil, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah for the first 19 ayat, and after that, for 1 year, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba with him prayed tahajjud as if it was fard. 1 year. And only after 1 year, the last ayah, the 20th ayah of the surah was revealed. And see the beauty of that ayah. Allah has sent a hukum, Allah has sent an instruction, the tarbiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, direct tarbiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and His Sahaba radhwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, stand in the night and pray and so on and so on. Waratil Qur'ana tartila. And they have prayed. 1 year they have prayed. Regularly like fard. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reveals, Inna rabbaka ya'lamu annaka taqumu adna min thuluthay al-layli wa nisfahu wa thuluthahu wa ta'ifatun min alladhina ma'ak. والله يقدر الليل والنهار علم أن لن تحصوه فتاب عليكم فاقرؤوا ما تيسر من القرآن علم أن سيكون منكم مرضى وآخرون يضربون في الأرض يبتغون من فضل الله وآخرون يقاتلون في سبيل الله فاقرؤوا ما تيسر منه وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله هو خيرا وأعظم أجرا واستغفروا الله إن الله غفور رحيم. Even if you are in jihad fi sabilillah, which is the peak of ibadah, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ. Don't leave it. Don't leave this. Recite. whatever you can recite, whatever is easy for you, وَأَقِيمُ السَّلَاةِ وَعَاتُ الزَّكَاةِ وَأَقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا, in addition to the zakat. After the zakat, what is the qarza hasana? In addition to the zakat. Tarbiyah, 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 tarbiyah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the compulsion aspect from this, the fard aspect from this. Do whatever you can do, how much you can do. But I can tell you, wallahi, I have not researched this. I have not taken the names of all the sahaba at that time who were praying and so on and so on. But I can, my heart tells me that those sahaba who prayed tahajjud like fard for that 1 year, I can bet you not a single one of them would have missed a single tahajjud till the end of his days. Because the one who tastes the sweetness of that, there is no way that he will leave it. No way that he will leave it. So after they prayed for 1 year, see the bashara, see the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This last ayah of Suratul Muzammil, what a beautiful ayah. What an ayah of bashara. What an ayah of izzah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, we know that you are standing in the night, and we know who is standing with you, O Nabi. Who is Allah talking about? Allah is talking about the sahaba. He said, who is? We know they are standing with you. And we know some of you are sick, and we know some of you are traveling for trade, and we know some of you are traveling for jihad, fi sabilillah. But read, recite, as much as you can do, as much as is easy for you, and establish salah. Why? Because the more the work of this deen you want to do, the more you need the help of Allah. Somewhere today we have got this thing into our minds, Allah, may Allah protect us, and especially the people in the work of da'wah. And I've seen this in country after country after country. Somehow the people who do the work of da'wah feel that they are mustaghni. They don't need Allah, they don't need the help of Allah, they don't need anything. All they need is their laptop and they need their smartphone, and they are good to go. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Tahajjud is a stranger. Why? No, I'm doing the work of da'wah. You're fooling yourself. You are fooling yourself. You're not doing the work of da'wah. Because your work of da'wah has no similarity with the work of da'wah of the one who was sent to do that work, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why I said, if anyone believes that he can do the work of da'wah without praying tahajjud, he is fooling himself. He's fooling himself. If you are serious about da'wah, make tahajjud fard on yourself. And believe me, the sweetness of it, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant it to you and me. When you have it, you know. When you get it, you know. Somebody asked one of the salaf, how do you know that your dua is accepted? He said, I know my dua is accepted when I start crying. There are some things which are matters of experience. You know, one can only explain. How can I explain what that means? Allah Allah. I can only tell you its words. But you have to stand there. The reason I'm saying is because yesterday was a long day. And so today I'm seeing some weakness. We didn't see some brothers in tahajjud. And we didn't see some brothers even in Salatul Fajr. I'm not saying you did not pray. You must have prayed in your house or you must have prayed in your room or somewhere. Please understand, this course is unique. Why? Because it begins at 4 a.m. with tahajjud by jama'ah. You spend the money, you spend the time, you took the trouble to come all the way here. Don't spend that time in your bed. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Don't shortchange yourself. Don't spend that time in your bed. You did not come here to sleep. You came here to work. And anyone who talks about tiredness, I have had a migraine continuously. Today is the third day. And yesterday I woke up at 3 a.m. and I went to sleep at 11 o'clock in the night. I didn't sleep in between. Except for one or two of you here, I am older than all of you. If I can do it, you can do it. Don't fool yourself. Physical toughness is in the mind. It's not in the body pumping iron. Because you see a whole bunch of people who look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but they are like a mouse. There's no heart. Seriously, it's physical toughness is here. We all talk about the hijrah. Huh? What was the hijrah? That's why I said, stop talking and think and reflect. What was the hijrah? The hijrah was three people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and their guide. Three people who walked in the hottest part of the year, in July. They walked 400 something kilometers from Makkah to Medina. When was the last time you did that, boss? Tell me. Would die of sunstroke. Because physical toughness is not there. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was tough like iron. People forget this aspect of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a warrior. He was tough like stone. He was tough like iron. He could go for days without food and water. Sahabi comes, Ya Rasulullah, I'm so hungry, see me. And he lifts up his shirt and he's got a stone on his belly. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not even respond to him. He doesn't even speak to him. He just lifts his shirt and there are three stones on his belly. These were people who were very, very tough. We are soft. We are soft and flabby and lazy. And we want to do the work of Dawah. Sorry, it doesn't work. Does not work. Will not happen. Physical toughness is in the mind. You get up and you will get up. As long as there is life in you, you will get up. If you are sick, not sick, doesn't make any difference. Make tahajjud fard on yourself if you want to do the work of this deen. Make tahajjud fard on yourself if you want to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is the time to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make tahajjud fard on yourself if you want du'as to be accepted, because we know the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends on the first heaven in a way that suits His majesty and grace, and an announcement is made. Who is there? Who has any need? Let him ask. And we are snoring in our bed. Who is there? Who wants forgiveness? Who wants my help? Who wants protection? Let him ask. And we are snoring in our beds. How will you connect with Allah? How will you connect with Allah? We have to stand and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stand and recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make this fard on yourself. Learn to make it fard on yourself to recite the Quran, to read the Quran at least one juz per day. Every day. Start from the beginning to the end. So every month you complete one dawr of the Quran. Read one full juz, and those of you who want to read the meaning of it, by all means read the meaning. Maybe you can't read the meaning of the whole juz, doesn't matter. You read the meanings of how many ever ayat you want, but read one juz of the Quran and read in Arabic. Arabic is the word of the kalam of Allah. It is not English, it is not Urdu, it is not. So don't read just the meanings and say, some people, they have all these arguments. What is the point of me reading the Arabic? Why don't I just read the English because I only understand English? La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. English is the kalam of the mutarajjim. English is the kalam of the translator. English is not the kalam of Allah. The Arabic is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read the Arabic. There is a noor in the kalam of Allah which does not exist in the translation, no matter who did the translation. Because the translation is not the kalam of Allah. Read the kalam of Allah. I always tell people, even the people in Dawah, don't say ayah number so and so means this. Recite the ayah. Shaitan will tell you, but you know those people cannot understand. Don't worry about they can understand or they can't understand. They are the makhluk of Allah. This is the kalam of Allah. It is the job of Allah to get that kalam into their hearts, whether they understand it or they don't understand it. There was a very dear brother of mine who is also my teacher in many ways. In America, he was called to speak at a seminary. He was called to speak at a college for priests and nuns in Hartford Seminary in Connecticut. He was asked to speak there, introduction to Islam, and he began his speech by reciting the last ayat of Surah Al-Hashr, from Huwallahu Alladhi to the end. And he says, I had this whole bunch of priests and nuns sitting in front of me, and then again, you know, whatever they do in the West or the outside, but as far as the religion is concerned, very close to us. So the priests on one side, the nuns on one side. There's no mixing of genders. There's one sitting here, one sitting there. No, there's no partition, but they are separate seating. And my brother says that when I recited the last ayat of Surah Al-Hashr, I saw people were weeping. They were crying, tears in their eyes. Now, all of these are Christian priests and nuns. They don't know the first word of Arabic. They don't know nothing about Arabic. Nothing, absolutely nothing. There's no way they understand the meaning of what is being recited. Nothing. But they cry. So he said after the, then he continued his lecture, finished his lecture, great appreciation and so on. They came and shook his hand and thanked him and so on and so on. So he said, I thought to myself, let me ask him. He said, you know, I saw that you had tears in your eyes. So he says, yes. He said, why were you crying? Did you understand what I was reciting? He said, no. And why were you crying? He said, I don't know. He said, I don't know. So just the tears came. Yeah? Just the tears came. Let them hear the word of Allah. Don't put your word. Don't put your word. Not interested in your translation. Let them hear the word of Allah. Let the word of Allah go into his. Many of the people who are not Muslim, they have never heard the word of Allah. They don't know what the Quran sounds like. Let them hear the word of Allah. Don't use your brain. I told you, too much of brain, too little heart. This is our problem. So you have this argument in your mind. Oh, what if they don't understand? Remove this. Remove this. Let them hear the word of Allah. Understand, not understand is not your problem. Don't worry about that. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who puts it into the heart. And I did not say don't tell them the translation. After that, by all means translate, no problem. But first, recite. Let them hear the word of Allah. Learn to recite well. How many of the dawat have I seen who, when you ask them to recite the Quran, they recite it wrong? Tajweed is over, there is no tajweed, there is no nothing, they recite it wrong. What kind of dawah, what dawah training are you taking and doing? You don't even know how to recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What dawah are you going to give? Learn. Make some effort. Learn. Nobody is born with knowledge. Everyone who has knowledge, whatever little or more, has learnt. So learn. Recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let them hear the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you say whatever you have to say, translate and so on and so on. My brothers and sisters, I want to end by reiterating and re-emphasizing that to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the salat of tahajjud is the method that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed. This is not my theory that you can connect to Allah by this. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it fard on his own Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us make this fard on ourselves. Let us ensure that we never miss tahajjud. And as far as this course is concerned, please understand the course begins at 4 a.m. And if you don't come here and you don't pray tahajjud, believe me, you have missed today probably the most important section of this course. And it's gone. It's not going to come back. Today's tahajjud will not come back. May Allah give you the tawfiq to come tomorrow. And those who are still not here, Allah knows best. Where they are and why they are not here, because they are supposed to be here. I told you, you didn't come here for entertainment. You came here to study. You came here to exert yourself. You didn't come here for a holiday. So exert yourself. Don't sleep in your beds. come and stand here. How else will you learn? How else will you learn? So forget all this tiredness and this and that. No tiredness. Work. At the end of 5 days, go home and collapse. No problem. But here, be here on time. Stay in and do your work. No sickness, no nothing. If you are sick, be sick here. Not in your room. Learn the beauty of it. Learn to pray and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, I get these migraines and may Allah protect me. And so I take, various medicines for this migraine. Now, there was a beautiful friend of mine, and one of my elders, a very senior brother. He was a Hadrami. He was from Hadramaut. And he also used to get very bad migraines. So somebody told me he has got this medicine. You should go and ask him. He's got this, Hadrami medicine. So I went to him and his name was Ali. So I went to him and I asked him, I said, get this headache. Yes, I get that. So I said, what's the medicine? What medicine do you take? And may Allah give him Jannah, may Allah give him Jannah to Fidosul Ala bi ghairi hisab. He passed away. He told, the way he told me, SubhanAllah, Ajib, I tell you, as if it was a most natural, most unremarkable thing. He tells me, I do the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, what's the medicine? He said, I do the dua of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Literally, it blew me away. He told me this as if it's a very normal, common, as if to say, why are you even asking this question? Don't you know this? But the dua, the words are even I know. The issue is to get the effect of this dua. Where you put your hand here and you make the dua and when you take your hand off, the pain is not there. Dua, that is the power of the dua. And if you can do that, then the dua is working for you. You put the hand here, but before you put the hand here, your mind is already on the medicine first. And that's why my sheikh used to say, he used to say the test of Iman is when you get a headache, which do you think of first, Tylenol or dua? Taking a medicine is not haram. Alhamdulillah, if there is a problem, if there is a medicine, to take it. But he says, the test of tawakkul, the test of iman is, which do you think of first? Which comes first in your mind? The headache medicine or dua? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His noor. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your lives with His noor, to fill your life with the barakah of His kalam, to give you the sweetness of salah, to give you the sweetness of understanding His kalam, to give you the sweetness of connecting to Him, to wake you up in the night where you should be so anxious to wake up in the night. When will the time for tahajjud come when I can stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then I speak to my rabbi, I tell my Allah my story. Allah already knows my story, but He likes to hear it from me, so I tell Him my story also. When we go to talk about the Standard Bearers Academy, and we, go to people, when people talk about fundraising and they say, we have to get funds and so on and so on, I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I say, Allah, I asked you. Khalas, I will not ask anybody else. I said, Iyaka na'bud wa iyaka nasta'in. I will not ask anybody else. You want to make it happen, you make it happen. You know how to make it happen, you don't need my advice. Means, dharai, wasta, wasila, who is that? I don't care. I'm not interested. I ask you. You want to use somebody, you use. You want to use nobody and give me directly, I will be the most delighted person in the world. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do that at the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent an announcement to say, ask me and I will give you. Which is a better, of course, there's no time for dua can be done any time. But what is a better time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a way that suits His majesty and grace, is waiting for you to ask. Ajib. Ajib. is the only deen in the world where we speak directly to our Rabb. Directly to our Rabb. No intermediaries. We don't ask anybody. We don't have to tell anybody to do anything for us. Directly we speak. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.